morning, Overflow Church. Who's happy to be here this Easter? Welcome again to all of you here in person, and a big shout out to all of you joining us online. If you're new here, my name's Corey. I'm one of the pastors that gets to serve here. And what you just saw was kind of a trailer, a teaser for the series we're kicking off next week called Healer. Because I don't know about you, but this last year, I mean, yes, there's been the pandemic, but we're going to be talking about all different types of healing, and we're going to be hearing testimonies of people in our own church family that have experienced healing, whether it be physical healing, emotional healing, financial healing, relational healing. And so I would just encourage you, maybe you don't need it, but maybe you know somebody that does. Give them an invite. We're going to be kicking that off next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. But this week, it's Easter. Semana Santa, Pascua. Man, I'm so excited. This is like the Super Bowl Sunday for Church World. Yeah. Man, somebody look at the person next to you and tell them, you look phenomenal. Everybody got their Easter Sunday best on? I went to Target and got the most Easter egg looking shirt I could find. I look like a Skittle, but it's for you guys, yeah. The band, man, they all look like espresso shots. How awesome was that? Like, they just, it's so cool to see what God is doing in this church family. And thank you to so many of you that are just like heart deep in this movement that is Overflow Church. It's only been about 6 months here for me. And man, just to hear the God stories and to have the conversations, like all this stuff is cool. Like all the volunteers, just a warm heart. Can we give a thank you for all the volunteers that did all this amazing work? Like, wow. And it's just been so cool. I mean, this is stuff that Pastor Brian and Cindy wanted to do for a long time, kind of centering the stage and all this. So we're just kind of continuing their legacy. But again, thank you. But like, floors are cool. Like, it was cool to be a part of building a stage that you get to stand and preach and sing on. Like, there's something cool about having like cuts on my body from the stage that we stood on. It's like, we bled for this right now. But like, and lights are cool. Guys, by the way, like, at Overflow, we're balling on a budget. If I told y'all how much we spent all that, y'all would be like, how did you do that? The grace of God and volunteers. But all this stuff is just cool. It's fun. But if you ever wondered what we're all about here, it's Jesus and his word. Like, just to put it, like, this is fun. I like it. It's always fun to turn up. I had somebody go, isn't it a little loud? I was like, yeah! Isn't that awesome? Genuinely, I love it. We'll have some, like, earplugs for people on the way in if you need it or something. And if you, I'm kind of joking, kind of not. Some of you are like, is he serious? Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it's just fun to celebrate Easter together. And our theme for Easter is get up. On the count of three, everybody say get up. One, two, three. Right? Like James Brown style. Get on up, right? I wish I could do that dance. I was gonna play that song like as one of the videos, but then I realized the next lyric is like a sex machine. And I was like, no, we can't say that in church. And I just said it. That defeated the purpose. I'm sorry. But yeah, get up. Get up. We're talking about get up because obviously today is the day we celebrate when humanity's timeline was split in half by a man that got up. By a man that got up from the grave. But here's the deal. The reason we're calling it get up is because Jesus isn't the only one that gets up. Like in and through him, we have the ability and power to get up. But in order to get up, it kind of means you had to fall, right? Like to get up, it means like to arise, to resurrect. I mean, it's Resurrection Sunday. This is all about resurrection. And to resurrect, you got to die. To get up, it means you got to fall. And I don't know about you, but like, I'm a bad person on the inside, but I love watching people fall. I'm not talking about like in life. I just mean like, you know, like those fall fail videos where people, it's hilarious. Like something like this. Like I love these.
An untrained meteorologist.
We get audio on that.
On the snow. I mean, it's in the streets.
Look like James Brown. Not Tay Diggs.
that's enough of that. I'm sorry. I just love laughing. Thank you guys. Thank you, tech team, for putting that together. Anybody else enjoy a good fall, right? It's just funny. It's just funny. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a bad person on the inside. But the reason that's funny is because they're okay. Because they got up, right? Like that's why it's funny, because they got up. But how many of us know sometimes in life, life knocks us down, we fall, and it's hard to get back up. Like that stuff's funny. Hey, text from Jesus. Let's go. That's a Holy Spirit sign right there, right? But literally sometimes in life, it's funny when we fall and we pop right back up, but sometimes in life it's not as easy as just popping back up. Sometimes life knocks you down and you stay down. Sometimes things in life die. Sometimes the relationship dies. Sometimes the career aspiration and the dreams die. Sometimes the diagnosis isn't what you... Sometimes things don't go your way and you fall, you die, and it's not as comical, it's not as funny. And today is Resurrection Sunday, where we focus on the resurrection, but I don't know if you know this, but Jesus isn't the only person that resurrected from the dead. So you're like, what? I thought, wait, now Jesus was involved in it, but there's a couple resurrections in the Bible. And today we're going to jump in to God's word. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5. If you have a Bible, open it up. If you have one of those old school paper Bibles, by the way, I was brought up in church in like a good old Southern Baptist church down in Florida. And I don't know if you've ever been in like a big church auditorium back in the day. You remember when the pastor used to say, turn in your Bibles, and it would sound like rain, like shh, shh, shh. Now it just sounds like this. But I'm still grateful. So if you have a copy of God's word, open it up. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we see one of the first resurrections, anybody ever that came back from the dead. And so we're just going to jump in and see if we can pull some of these resurrection stories, some truth from these resurrection stories about what it really means to get up. Because again, if we're honest, even though we all look good today and online, I know you're tuning in from around Michigan and some of you are on vacation. Thanks for joining in with us. We all may look good. We all may feel good. We're happy and we're celebrating. But if we're honest, we've all been knocked down a time or two, or maybe we've had some things die in our lives. So let's look at how to get up. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 35. If you're ready, say yeah. Thank you for saying it with some soul. I appreciate it. Verse 35, it reads, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus. Now, quick context here. There's this, in Mark chapter 5, there's the story of this guy named Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue leader. He was a ruler. He was a well-to-do guy. He had some influence. And he came running up to Jesus in Mark chapter 5. And to summarize it, he said, my daughter is sick. My daughter is ill and she needs help. And my last ditch effort is to come to this guy that I've heard has done some healings. Will you please help my daughter? How many of you parents out there can testify that if your kid is sick, you will do whatever it takes to try and make them better? And so I mean, just imagine Jairus. It's got to the point where the doctors couldn't do anything. Nothing's working. And so he just kind of throws a Hail Mary. He's going, I got to find that healer guy. I got to find Jesus. So he runs to Jesus. And on the way, Jesus agrees. He goes, okay, let's go see your daughter. And on the way to Jairus's house, Jesus gets interrupted by an older woman who needs healing. And if you're wondering, if you want to know more about that story, Pastor Chad is going to kick off our healer series next week, digging into the woman with the issue of blood. And you are not going to want to miss this weekend. You talk about revealing how God works and heals and what it looks like in the waiting room of faith. Ooh, next week's going to be good. Suffice it to say, there's an interruption. And if you're Jairus, you're like, did you not hear me? My daughter is dying. And that's where we pick up in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Is that not some of the worst news you could ever receive as a parent? Your child is gone. And the messenger, he says something so key here. He says, why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother Jesus anymore? She's dead. In other words, it's too late. Hope is lost. Give up. She's not getting up. And I just wrote in my notes here that phrase, why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother? I know sometimes many of us have felt like that, right? Like, why bother? Like, I wanted the marriage to work. I wanted the relationship to work, but it just seems like it's too far gone. I wanted this career to work, but man, we are this close to bankruptcy, man. I wanted to see the child come home and stop being wayward. But man, at some point, we all kind of feel like the messenger, man. Why bother? Yeah.
It just seems too far gone. And if you're Jairus here, that makes a lot of sense. She stopped breathing. She's dead. Why bother? But I love the faith of a parent, because Jairus keeps moving. Verse 36, this is so good. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him. This is Jesus. So Jesus hears the messenger. Hey, she's dead. Why bother? Jesus turns and looks at Jairus and he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. If there were a sentence I could leave us with today, if anybody is facing something that seems like it is almost dead, if anybody has been knocked back, his life has knocked you down. I mean, how many of us know this pandemic season, this 2020, like it is like God has allowed the enemy and life and just sin in general to kind of sucker punch all of us, right? It's just like, ugh. And what I love about Jesus here is in the face of death, why bother? Jesus turns to the Father. He turns to Jairus and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now that is easy to say, right? That's a great three words. I was talking to my wife this week, like she's not a big fan of flying. And if I just turn to my wife, you know, when we're taking off and I go, don't be afraid, she'd want to hit me. She'd be like, really? Yeah, it's that easy. Don't be afraid. Just turn off the fear, right? The Bible says, don't be afraid or fear not 365 times throughout scripture, one for every day of your year. Don't be afraid. Don't be. But I like that he didn't leave it at don't be afraid. It's as if there is a glass of our emotions. And he said, take out the fear. But just like in physics, the law of displacement is real. If you pour out a glass of water, it is not empty. It has been replaced by air. You cannot take something out of your emotional life. You cannot take something out of your spiritual life and not have it be filled with something. Spiritually, there's a great passage where Jesus actually teaches, if you get a demon out of somebody and then they don't get the Holy Spirit, seven more will move in. And so right here, he said, don't be afraid, pour the fear out, but replace it with belief. Don't be afraid. And I love this. He said, just believe. Just believe. And if there was a word, man, for some of us that feels like we've been knocked down, that feels like something is dead in our lives that we had hoped for, that we had dreamed for, man, those words just echo in my soul this morning, and I hope they do in yours as well. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Hold on to that hope. So he says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Verse 37. And he did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John. He took his three closest disciples with him. Verse 38. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? Now, I wrote in my notes, Jesus was anti-drama. Anybody, you just done with drama in your life? Like, come on, just drama. Like, Now, here's the deal. I love it. My man in the front row was like, yes, please. Yes, amen. Now, let me be clear on this. Like, they were crying and wailing because a little girl died. The Bible does say there's a time for mourning. Mourn with those who mourn. And so it doesn't mean you can't be sad. It doesn't mean, especially when someone passes or you lose something or lose someone. Yes, it is an appropriate emotional response to be sad. But Jesus knew that when you insert Jesus into a situation, often outcomes change. And Jesus was basically saying, why all the drama? Why the wailing? Why the crying? You know I'm here, right? You know Jesus is here, right? And again, just like part two to the equation, don't be afraid, just believe and insert Jesus into whatever has fallen or died in your life. When you bring the resurrected life into your life, it resurrects things back to life. And so Jesus shows up and he said, why are you crying? Don't you know I'm here? But they didn't know. Look at your neighbor and say, they didn't know. They didn't know. Sometimes we don't know. We don't recognize that Jesus is afoot, that he's there. He said, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Now that's just, I love it. Like, that's beautiful to me. The Bible says that over and over again through scripture. In the Old Testament, New Testament, when someone dies, they would say they have gone to sleep. They are sleeping. Moses has gone to sleep. Paul has gone to sleep. The disciple had fallen asleep. What if we view death like that? What if we view death as someone that believe? If you believe in God, you put your faith in Jesus, death is just a long nap. It's this idea that you are just resting until Jesus shows up, much like right here. And Jesus said, hey, you've got it the wrong perspective. When I am involved, death is but a nap. Woo! That'll speak to somebody. He says, the child is not dead, but he's asleep. Verse 40, but they laughed at him. May you ever believe in something and people think you're an idiot? I want the marriage to work. And everybody around you is going, she's gone, bro. And you're like, no, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to commit to this. Man, I know they're going to come back. I want my child to break that drug addiction. Man, it's been too far gone. Just let him go to, no. And then people eventually just like, you're still, like they laughed at Jesus. They laughed at his face. And I love Jesus's response. Woo! It's so good. It said that the child is not dead. He's sleeping. Verse 40, but they laughed at him. After that, he put them all out of the room. He took the child's father and mother, the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. Did you catch what Jesus did? All those that were crying because it was dead and all those were laughing because they thought he was dumb. He said, you get out of the room. You can either have doom and gloom or faith in the room. Those are your two options. And Jesus, notice who Jesus took in the room. He took Jairus and his wife. Why? Because they were the two that wanted her alive more than anyone. They were the two that believed more than anyone. They were the two that were desperate. And then he took the three disciples. Why? Because they were the three that seen him work before. He took the only five that had the faith for the miracle into the room. Here's my question this morning. Who's in your room? Some of us want to see those dreams, those aspirations, those relationships come back to life, but we are surrounded by people just speaking negativity over us. The Bible is so clear on this. Did you know the power of life and death is in the tongue? So if you surround yourself with people going, man, you ain't never, that's probably never going to work out. I don't know why you keep trying. Some of us, it's not even people. It's our own mental room. Some of us are going, man, nobody will help me, man. I don't know if I'll ever get there. Here's the deal. If you keep speaking death over something, don't be surprised when it dies. But Jesus said, all you haters and negative people, you're out of the room. It said he literally put them out. And he brought the only five in that believed. This is why church is important. It's not about the stage and the lights, although I do like these. They look like lightsabers. But like, it's not about the stage and the lights and the music and all that's great. It's so that we surround ourselves with people of faith. When you walk in the room and my man at the door, a greeter, goes, hey, how's the business going? And you're going, man, it's tough. And he goes, you can make it. You can do it. When you go to your small group and they go, man, my marriage is struggling right now. And they say, hey, we're going to lay hands on you pre-COVID and pray for you, right? Like, we surround ourselves with people of faith because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And here Jesus modeled that for us. He said, all you negative people, out. Give me the ones that believe. You can come in. And notice the ones that believe were the ones that witnessed the miracle. Many of us haven't seen miracles in our lives because we fear and not believe. Do not fear, only believe. Verse 41. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum. Oh, that just sounds cool. Talitha kum. Some of them say Talitha kumi. Talitha kum. He said Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Y'all see why I called it Easter, get up, right? Now, I love this, that translation. It's Aramaic. And Jesus saying Talitha. And Talitha, it's an endearing phrase. It can be translated little girl, little child. It could also be translated dear little lamb. And I love in that phrase, he shows the compassion and kindness of our Savior. Son, daughter, little girl, Talitha. But then that phrase, kum, kumi, that is a command. That is a command. Some translations say, arise. And you can see it has an exclamation point. It's as if he has the kindness and compassion of a good shepherd, but the commanding authority of an all-powerful God. And he said, little girl, get up. And I love this. He said, little girl, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around because she was 12 years old. At this, they were all completely astonished. Now, here's why I want to press in on this before we jump to the resurrection of Jesus. This is one of the first resurrections of someone from the dead. This is one of Jesus's first miracles. And what I love about this is it shows the personal responsibility in our personal miracles. Hear this. He said, little girl, he didn't go, you are healed. And then Jesus didn't go and pick up the little girl. He didn't say, you are healed. Now Jairus and your wife, why don't you go pick her up? It said she was 12 years old. You know why it gives us that detail? Because a 12-year-old can walk. In other words, he said, I've done my part. Now you do your part in the miracle. Little girl, get up. And this is a pattern you see all throughout Scripture. God says it over, like, I think I wrote down like over 90 times in Scripture where he looks at Moses and says, get up and go back to Israel. He looks at David and says, get up and fight the battle. He looks at Joshua and says, get up and get out of that. Joseph, get up and get out of that pit. The disciples and Saul, get up. Every time Jesus worked a miracle, he looked at the man with the withered hand and he said, you stretch out your hand. He looked at the blind man and said, you open your eyes. He looked at the layman and said, get up and pick up your mat. In other words, if we want a miracle, we have to take personal responsibility for our part. God has given us an ability. This little girl, and some of us were like, wow, that's harsh. Like Talitha, oh, Jesus is so kind. Koom, get up. He said it emphatically. I almost imagine the girl was dead. She just, whoa, you know, she woke up like, ah. But it does speak to our personal responsibility in our resurrection, in our miracles. It's up to us to get up. Jesus can give us the ability. It is our responsibility to get up. I love how true this passage is. It kind of reminds me of a famous sports story. I'm a sports fan, and I kind of like watching boxing. Do I have any boxing fans in the house? One or two? Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Some of you are like, that's violent. I know. So is the Bible. read it. It's gory in the Old Testament. But I doubt anyone in here is old enough to remember this. And we'll start wrapping it up here. But back in 1936, I don't think anyone's old enough to have seen that, right? Back in 1936, the greatest boxer on the planet was Joe Louis. And Keys, you can come up here and start making it sound spiritual so everybody thinks I'm wrapping up. You know, if you grew up in like a Wesleyan church or a Baptist church, the piano means he's wrapping up. If you grew up in a charismatic church, it means we got 40 more minutes. No. And we'll see. We'll see which one we are today. No, I'm just kidding. God is timely, and so we'll be timely. But yeah, back in 1936, the greatest boxer in the world was this African-American man named Joe Louis. Joe Louis was bad. Oh, he was a good boxer. You can go on YouTube and watch some of his old fights. But in 1936, he was 27-0, undefeated. And there was a matchup on the ticket that had never been done before. They sold out Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. This is before TV screens. This is before projectors. Sold out crowd in the Bronx. He was pinned up against the best German fighter, Max Schmeling. Max Schmeling was undefeated. Joe Louis was undefeated. And they were pinned together in this sold out crowd. But see, what you see here isn't just two boxers. It's a black man and a white man in 1936. It's an American and a German at the height of Nazi Germany. This wasn't just two boxers going at each other. This was democracy versus fascism. This was freedom versus Nazism. This was literally good versus evil. The entire country, the entire world was listening in on the radio to this fight. And you can watch it to this day. Joe Louis prepared. He got in the ring. Round one goes by. Round two goes by. They slug it out. This is a 15-round fight. Sixth round, seventh round, eighth round, 10th round. And in the 12th round, Max Schmeling, the Nazi Germany, knocked out Joe Louis. And he lost. Journalists tell us that Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, you could audibly hear people wailing and crying. They said if you went to the major cities in the U.S. and just listened, you could hear people crying when they announced that Joe lost. Because this wasn't just their favorite boxer losing. It was as if Nazi Germany was establishing the Third Reich right in front of all of our faces. Fascism had won. Evil, it seemed, had won. But what I love about Joe Louis is once they resuscitated him, he got up. And for 2 years, when people were laughing at him, criticizing him, saying he got knocked out, he shouldn't go back for it. For 2 years, Joe Louis trained and worked. He got up and he did his part, and he trained and he worked and he trained and he worked. And 2 years later, in 1938, the boxer Max Schmeling agreed to a rematch, same place, same fighters, and in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx to an even greater sold out crowd, the two fighters matched again. And in round one, Joe Louis came out like a hurricane. He threw 42 punches to the German fighter's two. He knocked him down once. He knocked him down twice. And in the first round, before they even got out of the first round, Joe Louis threw a right hook and knocked out Max Schmeling for the last time and established that good will prevail over evil. Democracy will win over fascism. We do get up and it makes a difference, but I love that story. It reminds me of Jairus's daughter, because Joe got up. Even though he was knocked down, even though he was embarrassed, even though the messenger came to Jairus and said, "Your daughter is dead. It's over. Why bother?" Jairus said, "I gotta believe. It's my little girl." Joe thought, "I gotta do it. It's not just for me." It reminds me of one of my favorite nicknames the Bible gives Jesus. See, there was a fight, good versus evil. You can read it in Genesis. God created Adam and Eve, and we faced off against evil. The Bible calls it sin. It just means to miss the mark. It means we messed up. And in that first round, in that first bout in Genesis, evil won. Knocked out Adam and Eve. We all, because of that, are born under the curse of sin. We all, and many of us know, man, none of us in here are perfect. There's no perfect people allowed at Overflow Church. We're all messed up, jacked up, shacked up, or locked up in some way, shape, or form. Because we've all sinned. Evil has knocked us all down. The Bible says this, that because of sin, we're spiritually dead. We're like Jairus's daughter. We're dead. What I love about God is there was a rematch. And in this time, he didn't send the first Adam. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. In other words, God said, "Hey, I want a rematch, but this time I'm going to fight it. This time I'm going to come down in the form of my son, Jesus Christ." And in Jesus Christ, on the night where they celebrated Passover, was betrayed, and the next morning on Friday, he was beaten. They shoved a crown of thorns in his head. They spit at him. They cussed at him. They made him carry his own torture device up a hill until he collapsed. They got him up that hill called Golgotha. He faced off against the enemy. And then what did Jesus say when they nailed him to the cross? "It is finished." And the enemy thought he won. The enemy thought he knocked him out. It was over. And the devil started his count. Friday, one. Saturday, two. Sunday. And in Luke chapter 24, it says this. On Sunday, some women came to the tomb, and they came to try and clean up the body, and the stone was rolled away, and they went in and there was no body. Nobody expected nobody. Nobody expected that there would be no body. And there was an angel of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 5, it says this. The angel looked at the women and said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He got up. He has risen." And because Jesus got up, we can get up. Here's how I want to land the plane today, Overflow. That event changed the course of humanity. We say it all the time at our churches in the network. If you can predict your own death, burial, and resurrection and pull it off, we follow you. That's why I believe in Jesus. Here's the deal. Like, I'm going to say something that may shock some of you guys. Like, we don't believe Jesus died and rose from the grave because the Bible tells us so. Because here's the deal. The Bible didn't exist for 300 to 400 years and Christianity flourished. There was an event called the resurrection where a man, a dead man, came back to life, and that event sparked a movement called the ecclesia, the church, and the event sparked a movement which inspired a Bible, which then became a movement that went around the world. We believe that Jesus rose from the grave, not just because a church tells us so, not just because a book tells us so, because a guy named Matthew was there, and he said, I saw it with my own eyes. A guy named Luke investigated it thoroughly. He talked to multiple eyewitnesses. Paul saw Jesus on the road, man after man, woman after woman, saw a dead man come back to life, and it was so powerful. Our very calendar was changed. And some of you here today, man, like, you may not have, like, you may just be here because your mama said we're going to church on Easter, right? I get it. Some of you are tuning in online today because they're making you watch it, and you're like, can we just get to sports? But maybe for the first time, you realize that this whole thing, it's not just based on a book. It's not just based on buildings. It's based on an event. Like, here's the, I said it on Friday night, on Good Friday. We love the cross. The cross is great. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. That's where his blood was spilled for us. But if all we had was the cross, we have nothing. If all we had was the cross, there would be no Overflow. There would be no Water's Edge. There would be no Bible. There would be no Christianity. All of that came to be because of the resurrection. I almost wish we wouldn't wear crosses around our neck, but we would wear little empty tombs. Because Paul says, if not for the resurrection, we are the biggest fools on the planet. But because of the resurrection, we are the chosen people of God. And today, here would be where I would just want to land the plane. First and foremost, let me change it up. Can we all take a seat and you'll see why? Can we all take it? I love y'all's faith. Thank you for standing up, but you'll see why. Today, some people may be hearing it for the first time that a man died and got up. And the Bible says, all you have to do is do what Jesus said to Jairus. Don't fear. God, I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. Don't fear. Just believe. And if you believe that Jesus was God's son, that there is a creator, that he loves you, and that no matter the mistakes you made, he has made a way for you through his son, Jesus. And the way Jesus put the exclamation mark on it, the way he put his stamp down on it, was he wanted to show us that even death could not hold him down. And if death couldn't hold him down, he has the power to help you not be held down. And the Bible says, if we will take a stand for Jesus, if we will get up for him, he will stand up for us for the Father, in front of the Father. And so here's how I just wanted to do it today. Can we all just bow our heads and close our eyes for a second? And right now, watching online here in the room, if you want to take a stand for Jesus, I just want to give you the opportunity to get up. Now, sometimes we raise our hands. Sometimes we just pray a silent prayer, but not today. Not today. There may not be anyone in this room. There may be several. There may be several watching online. But if today is your day to say, man, I don't know it all, but I believe in Jesus and I've never totally put my faith in him. And today I want to stand up for him. I want to get up. I want to rise from the dead spiritually and I want to follow Jesus. I put my faith. And let me just encourage you with every head bowed and every eye closed. You do not have to be perfect. You do not have to have it all together. I'll just take it a step further. After you stand for Jesus, you're going to mess up and you're going to fall again. But because you follow the one that got up, you can always get up. So right now, if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to count to three. And if today's your day to say yes to Jesus, I just want you to get up. I just want you to stand right where you're at. 1, 2, 3. Online, watching at home, or right here in the room, you can take a stand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God, so much for this. Father, right now, we thank you for these amazing people that have said yes to you, God. We thank you for how you're working in the life. God, your word says that in heaven, they are all off their feet. They are up and shouting for you. And we thank you that people have said yes. And right now, for those of you that took a stand, I just want you to know we're proud of you. We're grateful for you. And we want to help you take your next step in your God journey. If you're watching online, our host will drop a link in there. We want to get to know you. We want to help you take that next step. Now, if everybody will open your eyes and look this way. What I know about us is, yes, we're grateful that people took a stand for Jesus. We're grateful that people have said yes. And if you are one of those that took a stand, you can come up and talk to me or Pastor Chad or Joel afterwards. We will happily help confirm that decision with you. But for the rest of us, we're going to just sing one more song that says, I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And right now, together, I'm going to count to three one more time. And if there's something in your life, if there's a dream you have that you feel like it's almost dead, if there's a place in your life where you feel like you've gotten knocked back, when I say three, I want us all to just stand to our feet. I want us all to get up as a physical representation that because Christ got up, we will get up. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. So on the count of three, let's all get up and proclaim this. One, he stood for us, so we'll stand for him. Two, he is worthy of it. Three, let's sing this out with everything in us. Let's stand and sing it.